All right, Shavuot, say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar Beis, the Schwartzbaum family for dedicating all the Shema Drashos this month in memory of Rabbi Aaron Schwartzbaum, Aaron Yosef Ben Meir, Zichron Livracha, Leah Sol, in the schus of her daughter Ilana Bas Esther's successful surgery and a complete refuah shlema for the safe return of our hostages and Emir Tashem success for our soldiers. Maya Hoffman, in memory of her father, Reuven Ben Emmanuel, Zichron Livracha, and in the merit of Hatzlacha, health and joy for her entire family. Yoel and Sarah Kelman, in honor of the birth of their son and in memory of Staff Sergeant David Sassoon Hashem Yikom Damo, who was killed fighting in Gaza on March 6th. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshama Slavin Aliyah, the families in Nechama, and all those in the Refuah Shavuot together with Kol Chole Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu should bring our hostages back to their mishpachas and allow our soldiers to be successful b'chol ma'asei yadehem. Well, with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Today's daf is Chav Zayin 27. Now we are picking up at the Gemara on Chav Vav Amud Beis 26b. So remember, again, I will say the Gemara picks up Amar Rabbi Elazar Afilu Munachin Al Gabi Shulchan. So let's remember again, in the Mishnah we had a number of different cases. The case that the Gemara is referencing over here is the case of the Shulchani, the money changer. So what's the halacha by the money changer? So the Mishnah said that lifnei shulchani hare elu shalo, b'nakisei v'la shulchani hare elu shal shulchani. So the halacha is like this. If you find money on the ground in front of the money changer, so remember again, it's very important to appreciate the orientation over here. So as opposed to the shopkeeper who sits in front of the counter, right? Remember again, you have the counter, the shopkeeper, and then everyone from the store is interfacing with the shopkeeper. So when the shopkeeper needs something, he reaches back. The shulchani, the money changer, is sitting behind the table. So the way it works is, people come, customer approaches the table, puts the money on the table. The shulchani, the money changer exchanges the money. Okay, so now the Mishnah said that any money found in front of the table, the finder can keep. What's the logic? The logic behind that is, if that means a customer dropped it, the pashtos, the customer has yeush that he's ever going to get it back, and therefore the finder is allowed to keep it. Between the table and the shulchani's chair, so in other words, there's the table, then the shulchani, anything that's dropped, that belongs to the shulchani. Fine. Now Rabbi Elazar comes along and says, afilu munachin al gabi shulchan. So this is actually an interesting case. So let's say, again, I'm walking, and I walk by the area where the shulchani normally sits, and there's money left on the table. Quite literally, someone left money on the table. Right? So now, the shaila is, who owns that? Rabbi Elazar says, even that belongs to the finder. Afilu munachin al gabi shulchan. Even if you find money on the table, Rashi says over here, I actually forget Rashi right now. Very enough to get into Rashi. Rashi has a different gear, so we don't have to get into that. Even if you find money on the table itself, the finder is permitted to go ahead and keep that. Says the Gemara Tanan. Lifnei shulchani hare elu shalo. Mishnah said that if you find money in front of the money changer's table, the finder is allowed to keep it. So it sounds like from the Mishnah that the only thing that you're allowed to keep is money found in front of the table. Ha agabi shulchan, the shulchani. I could infer from that money on the money table itself belongs to the shulchani, belongs to the money changer. So I'll say that's the inference from the Gemara. However, ima seifa, then look at the latter case in Mishnah. Peina ki seifa la shulchani. If you find money between where the money changer sits and the money changer's table, shal shulchani. That belongs to the shulchani. So what can you infer from that? Ha al gabi shulchan shalo. Yet I could infer from that if you find money on the money changing table itself, then aloha lamaisa, you could keep it. Finally, you could keep it. So I'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that you have competing or contradictory inferences from the Mishnah. Tushin Gemara says, you're right. Elameha lekalamash memine. You're right. You can't really infer anything from the Mishnah because the Mishnah ultimately, again, could really lead to two different conclusions. Okay? Sa'ai Rabbi Elazar ha menale. So we'll say, so here's what we have. We have right, the Mishnah, and we have Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is coming along and saying that halacha lemaisa, money found on the table. I just want to paint the case accurately. Obviously, right? If the shulchani is sitting at the table, and I walk by, and he's transacting business, and there's money on the table. So Beloz is not saying, okay, great, fantastic, let me chop that up and put it in my pocket. What he's talking about is, let's say the shulchan closed up for the day. He's done with work for the day. I'm walking by, there's $20 on the table. Rabbi Lazar says, I, the finder, am allowed to keep that money. I don't have to assume that ultimately, again, it belongs to the shulchani, nor do I have to assume that it belongs to someone, but everyone understands that because money is constantly changing hands on the table, if someone leaves money on that table, they're going to be miyayish. That's the point over here. That's what those points. Therefore, I find money on the money changer's table. I, the finder, am allowed to keep that because halacha l'maisa, I could assume that there was yeyush. Now, the problem is, where's Rabbi Elazar getting that from? So we try to infer it from the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives me competing inferences. So I ask the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, Hamanali. So Rabbi Elazar, where do you get this idea from, that the finder is allowed to keep money found on the table? Amarava Masnisin Kishise. Rabbi Elazar was bothered in general by the Mishnah. See, he was bothered. What was he bothered by? So my area d'tani bein akisei l'shulchani shal shulchani. Why is it that the Mishnah dafka uses the case or uses the phrase as saying, if money is found between where the shulchani sits and the money changing table itself, that belongs to the shulchani. Listening al shulchan. I was about to say, why doesn't the Mishnah say like this? Any money found on the table belongs to the shulchani. Now, if money found on the table belongs to the shulchani, then what does that automatically include? What does that include? Money found between the table and where the shulchani sits. Right? In other words, if the shulchani gets the money on the table, alachas kama v'kama, he gets the money between where he sits and the table. So the Gemara says, inami matzah b'shulchanos kedik tani reisha matzah b'chanos shalom. So we'll say furthermore, also go ahead and make it parallel to the first case. Right? Go ahead and articulate, if you find money on the tables, just like you said in the first case of the Mishnah, if you find money in the stores. Ela shlamina. So also here's what's interesting. From the fact that the Mishnah does not phrase it that way, ela shlamina, afilu munachin agabe shulchan har elu shalom. So I will say, here's what's interesting. So the fact that the Mishnah does not say, if money is found on the table, it belongs to the shulchani, and then that would have covered, including money found between where the shulchani is sitting, and the table itself as well. So the fact that it doesn't say that indicates to us what? That money found on the table does not belong to the shulchani. Rather, money found on the table actually belongs to the finder, shmamina. So we'll say that is the position ultimately, again, of Rabbi Elazar. And we'll say this is the position adopted by the Rambam as well. So halacha l'maaseh, what comes out in the kind of like the complete rounded out case of the shulchani is like this. If you find money in front of the table of the shulchani, it belongs to the finder. If you find money on the shulchani's table, right, he closed up shop, there's money on the table, belongs to the finder. If, however, money is found between the table and where the shulchani sits, that belongs to the shulchani. Beautiful. Let's go back there. Says the Imar, Halokeach peros mechavero. So we'll say last case of the Mishnah. Last case of the Mishnah is, I purchase produce from Reuven, and inside of the produce, I find money. I buy a basket of apples from Reuven. Inside of the basket is money. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha? Ultimately, I, the purchaser, I could keep that money. However, the Mishnah said, if the money was piled, or the money was somehow bundled in a way that showed some level of intentionality, then ultimately, I get no talumachris. Then I'm obligated to try to track down the owner. Okay, so let's analyze. Amar Reish Lakish, Mishrav Yanai, Lo Shanu Ela, top of Chav Zayin Abo Sai. Lo Shanu Ela, good. Lo Shanu Ela, Belo Keach Min HaTagar. So we'll say, when do we say that ultimately, again, if you find money in the basket, that you're allowed to keep it? That's when you are purchasing the produce from a merchant. In other words, we'll say, if you can imagine for a moment, there's two ways to purchase produce, right? I can purchase directly from the farmer, or I could purchase from I don't know what you would call it, I guess like a wholesaler, right? Or a merchant. Now a merchant himself is shopping it out from other farmers. So comes along Reish Lakish and says like this, when do we say, if I'm purchasing fruit from Reuven and I find money in the basket of fruit that I'm allowed to keep the fruit, that's only when I'm purchasing it from a merchant. Look at Tav Rashi. Tav Rashi Chav Zayin Amalav 27a. Look at Minat Tagar. Sha'afhu lokach tvua zume anashim harbe. Because Ruvain, the merchant, also, right, this is not his own produce. He purchased this produce from farmers. V'lo yediya d'man ninhu, v'chevan d'lesbu simen eseshua b'aylim. Since ultimately, again, Ruvain himself is purchasing this produce from other people, from groups of people, and therefore, again, there's no real way to know who the owner of this money is. Money in general doesn't have a simen. That's when I'm allowed to keep it. Aval, v'lo kech mi b'alabayis chayv l'hachzir. But also, watch this. If Reuven is the farmer, and I'm purchasing the produce from Reuven himself, so which means Reuven did not shop this out from other people, and I find money inside of the basket, I'm obligated to announce the money. I'm obligated to try to track down the owner. Because we will say, in that case, the fruit is really only coming from one source. Because it's coming from one source, there is a possibility, a strong possibility, that maybe this is Reuven's money. Say from Chayv Tevi Machris. V'chein Tarnat Kamid Rav Nachman, and so too they taught this in front of Rav Nachman. Lo Shanu Ela B'Lokeach Minat Tagar. When do we say that if you find money inside a basket of fruit, that you're permitted to keep it? That's only when you're purchasing it like from a wholesaler, from a merchant, who's buying it from many different sources. There's no real way to track down this money. Money doesn't have a simon. You can keep it. But ultimately, again, if you buy from the balabayis, you buy from the farmer himself, you're obligated to return the money to the farmer. Now, obviously, I'm not obligated just to show up and give him money, but I am obligated to be machris. I'll have to say, I found something, right? I found something in the basket. If you lost something, please let me know. Only Rav Nachman, I don't understand. The Chi Balabayis Ba'asmo Doshan. So this is very interesting. The Gemara says, so now you're telling me that if halacha lemaisa, you go ahead and I purchase the produce directly from the farmer, from Reuven, right? And now I find money in the basket, I'm obligated to announce that find. Now I will say, that's presupposing that what? So do you think that Reuven the Balabayis is the one who harvested the fruit himself? It's the Jews we're talking about over here, right? We've got a guy, right? So Mepashto's like, I have workers, right? Reuven has workers in his field. So we'll say, so you have to understand something. So there's as much of a probability that that money belongs to one of Reuven's workers that it belongs to Reuven. Or in other words, or maybe even there's a greater probability that the money belongs to one of Reuven's workers more than it belongs to Reuven. So why would I have an obligation to return the found money to Reuven? To which the Gemara says, so this is incredible. So Amarle, Ismay, so you responded back, so what should I do? Should I go ahead and erase this teaching? In other words, okay, he acknowledged that maybe it's love, but what should I do? Should I erase the teaching? Amarle, lo, titargi masnisin kegon shadoshan al yedei avdo v'shivchaso haknanim. No, rather explain the case the Mishnah is talking about what? Where Reuven's field is harvested by his avadim. And I will say, remember, Masha Kana Eved Kana Rabo, whatever the slave acquires, whatever the servant acquires, the master acquires. And therefore, again, in a case where Reuven is harvesting his field through his avadim, the man of shach, that money belongs to Reuven. Right? Whether it's Reuven's actual money himself or it's his servant's money, either way, it's his. Say, Rabo say, what comes out over here, is really halacha lemaisa, two different halachas, right? So halacha number one is, if I'm going ahead and I'm purchasing produce from a wholesaler, from a merchant, and I find money inside of that basket, I'm allowed to keep it. Now, of course, the exception is what? If the money has some type of intentional placement, or the money is arranged in some type of intentional way, then I'll be obligated to machrez it. But otherwise, again, I'm allowed to keep it. However, if I'm purchasing produce directly from the farmer, directly from the owner of the field, and I find money in there, then halacha lemaaseh, again, I would be obligated to go and announce it. But it sounds like only if that's the case where I know that the owner of the field is harvesting produce with his own avadim. But if he has other hired workers, then halacha lemaaseh would appear that I'm not obligated to go ahead and announce it, because the truth is, maybe it belongs to Reuven, maybe it belongs to the workers, and either way, again, there's going to be an assumed yesh. And this indeed is how the Rambam paskins as well. I found this case is very interesting, right? Because You're talking about a case of purchasing produce and then finding money inside of the basket. So here, look how the Rambam phrases it. He says, Perek tezayin halacha halacha vav, halokeach peros mechavero, o sheshalach lo chavero peros, umatza besochon moos tsururos. So Rambam begins with the case. And I want to say, by the way, you can just imagine this in a case of somebody sends you shalach moos, right? They send you a basket of apples, right, or whatever, and a bottle of wine, right, together, right? So now, there's money piled inside of that basket, right? Tsururos. This is the case of intentional placement. So because it's intentional placement, I'm obligated to announce what I found. Matsan mefuzaros, but if I found scattered money in the basket of produce, hare ilu shalom, I'm allowed to keep that. When is that so? So I'll say that is true when the produce comes from a merchant or from a balabas who purchased from a merchant. However, avalim abala bayis dosh haperos liatzmo, o al yedei avadav v'shivchos haknanim, hari zeh chayv lahatzir. But if the owner of the produce, the person who gave me the produce, either I know he does his own farming, or farming is done through his avadim, in that case you'll be obligated to go out and return the money to him. Incredible. Pretty much just as it's laid out in front of the Gemara. Excellent. Let's say, let's go back to Mishnah. Av hasimla haisa bichlal kalelu. So Rabbi say, now we're going to talk about the pasuk by Hashavas Aveda. So let me just give you the context. The pasuk says like this: V'chin sase lechamoro. This is what you should do for his donkey. V'chin sase lesimloso. This is what you should do for his garment. V'chin sase lechol avedas achicha. This is what you should do for any lost object that your brother loses. Asher tovar mimeno, that is lost from him. Umitzasa, and you find it. Losucha lehisalein. You cannot turn away from it. So this is the part of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And actually, this pasuk I'm going to say is Lo Sucha L'Sayim. This is the pasuk that tells you that if you find something, you can't pretend like you didn't see it and turn away from it. There's another pasuk of Hashem Teshivim. You have to return it. So I'm going to say the Mishnah is coming from the vantage point of why does the pasuk have to articulate the garment? We're going to see the pasuk itself is redundant because the pasuk says, if you find your friend's donkey, his garment, or anything that he loses. Now, once you have that phrase, anything that he loses, why they need to be item specific at all? So the Mishnah says, afa simla haisa bichlal. So simla, right, finding your friend's garment, was obviously included in the phrase of anything your friend loses. So ultimately, again, why was it specifically articulated? In order to create a hekesh. What's the hekesh? What's unique about a garment? Number one, a garment has a simen. Number two, when the garment is lost, someone is going to be looking for it. So to af kol davar sheish bo simanin v'yesh lo tovim chayv lahachris. So I will say, so simla is here to teach us. It's here to teach us a paradigm. What is the type of item for which you are obligated in the midst of Hashavas Aveda, returning a lost object? What type of item has to satisfy two criteria? Number one, it has a simen. Number two, someone is looking for it. They will say, what is it? So simen, I understand. What does it mean someone's looking for it? It means the owner didn't have yeyush. Right? Obviously, if the owner had yeyush, he's not looking for his object. So this is a very important rule. In order for there to be a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, the lost object must satisfy two criteria. Number one, it has a simen. Number two, the owners are looking for it, i.e., they did not have yeyush. Here we go. My bichlal kol elu. So we'll say, what else is included in this? What's included in this rule? Amar Rava, bichlal kol aveda sachicha. So we'll say, because the Mishnah said that simla was included in the general rule. What's the general rule? The Gemara says, okay, that's the other phrase in the pasuk, call aveda sachicha, anything that your brother loses. Amar Rava, lamali dekasav rachmana shar chamar sev simla. So we'll say, so now Rava says, okay, well let's broaden this question a little bit. Why does the pasuk need to say shar chamar se and simla? But the truth is, over here the Gemara is really referencing two different psukim, same parak, but all right. And all speaking about the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, or ultimately, again, right, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So the Torah goes out of its way to mention all of these items. Shar, an ox, chamar, donkey, set, sheep, similar garment. And telling you all these cases, if I see the lost object of my friend, I'm obligated to return it. Why? In other words, and I want to just point out, the question is really amplified by the fact that the Torah says, "Kol avedas achicha." Whatever your brother loses, you are obligated to return. So that's it. Once you have that phrase, why do I need anything else besides that? So here we go. It's really interesting. So tzrichi, you need all of it. I'll tell you why. Because of Rachmana Simla, if the Torah would have just said Simla, Hava mina hanimili be'edim de gufa, v'simanim de gufa. So I will say, this is actually interesting. I would have thought that maybe Simla means like this. When are you obligated to go ahead and return the object? Maybe when you have witnesses, right, that Reuven owned the object. And ultimately, again, Reuven has a simen that he owns the object. Ava chamar be'edim du'ukaf v'simen du'ukaf ema lo mahadrin olay. So Rebbe said, this is very interesting. I would have thought, when are you obligated to go ahead and return an object? When there's edos, right, either testimony or an actual simen in the body of the object itself. Okay, what about the following case? Let's say Reuven loses his donkey. Donkey has a saddle. Reuven is able to give a simen in the saddle, but not able to give a simen in the donkey. In other words, I don't know, I guess all donkeys look the same. Like there's no distinguishing feature in the donkey. But Reuven could say the saddle, which was on the donkey, so I will say, you might have thought that Allah l'maisa, well, you could give a simen in the saddle, but not the donkey. Then what does that get you? That gets you a saddle, but doesn't get you a donkey. Kamash malon, kamash, so I will say, and that, if it would have just said simla, what's unique about simla? Simla has either edos or a simen in the actual item itself. That's when you get back your item. But perhaps, again, if you could just identify the saddle, you don't get the donkey. Kamash malon, the Torah comes along and says, Kasav Rahmana Chamar, Torah writes Chamar to teach you what? Dafilu Chamar b'simani ha'okof. To teach me that, no, the way it works with the donkey is actually really interesting. The way it works with the donkey is that Allah l'maisa, if you could identify the saddle, you get back the saddle on the donkey. Right? In other words, the saddle and the donkey are looked at as one entity. So a simen in the saddle earns you back your donkey as well. Sharva said, that's why I need Chamar. So now I know Simla. Simla is like the paradigm. The ability to give a simen in the object itself. Chamar teaches me that if you could go ahead and identify an accessory that is almost always attached to the primary item, that you get back the accessory and the primary item. Okay, next. Sharvaseh, because Rachman Alavali. But so why do I need Sharvaseh? Dafila, listen to this. Legizas Zinavo. Right? So Shar, Dafila, Legizas Zinavo. So Shar teaches me, Rabosai, that Allah Chalamaisa, again, it refers even to the hair on the end of the tail. In other words, what am I obligated to return? Even if I find the tail hair of Reuven's Shar, I'm obligated to return. Rabosai, I guess the Pashtos, tail hair is relatively insignificant. But even a relatively insignificant item, you still have a mitzvah of Hashava Saveid. Now, obviously, there's only a mitzvah of Hashava Pruta, but I have a mitzvah of Hashava Saveid. The Seh Ligizosav, and similarly again, if you find the shearings of Reuven's wool, you're obligated to return that as well. I have a lichtov rachman ashar dafi ligizas nava v'choshekein zeh seh ligizosav. So if that's the case, just write shar. If you're right, Shah, which teaches you that I'm obligated to return even tail hair, so if you're obligated to return tail hair, then you're also obviously obligated to return what? Shearings. And therefore, I can leave off Seh, Al-Amarava, Chamar Debar L'Rabbi Yehuda, the Seh David L'Divrei HaKol Kasha. So Rava says, you're right. The truth is, in general, Chamar, according to the interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda by Bar, remember again, what does Rabbi Yehuda say by Bar? Rabbi Yehuda holds that, we saw this in Baba Kama, Rabbi Yehuda holds that by Bar, that you are chayiv finiske kelim. You chayiv, even if halach l'maisa again, utensils are broken in a bar. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, what to do with Bar and set the aveda? So two different comments over here. The divra kol kasha. So Gemara acknowledges, I will say, that in this whole thing, we'll leave us out of Yehuda Bar, but really, set of aveda, we're not sure why you need it. I understand why I need Simla. Right? Simla teaches me the paradigm of being able to have a simen in the object of the item itself. Chamar teaches me that if I have a simen in an attached accessory that allows me to gain back the primary item. Shar teaches me that even tail hair has to be returned. Seh, it's not clear. We wanted to say se teaches me shearings. I have to return shearings. But if you have to return tail hair, then what? You certainly have to return shearings. So the Gemara just acknowledges se. We're not 100% sure what to do with it. I think Gemara says ve'ema legilalim hudasa. Maybe se comes to teach you that you're obligated to return menor. In other words, we'll say menor, right? The waste of the animal has a value as well. So maybe I don't know who's picking that up, but right. Can you imagine walking down the street, right? But the mice again, okay. At the end of the day, maybe I'm obligated to return that, right? So the Gemara says, so this is actually interesting. Even though menor obviously does have a value. It does have a value, but Lamaisa bepashtos, people are mafkir their menor. In other words, that when the animal relieves itself, people don't expect to get that back. Okay? The dimal siman in hudasa, I would say maybe se comes to teach me just about the ikar halacha of simanim. Now I'll say, now we're gonna get into something very exciting. The bailon simanim da'raisa d'rabanan. Now I'll say, and we're gonna talk about this in just a little bit. In general, the concept of a simon, in other words, the ability to identify something, or I should say, the ability to establish ownership by dint of the ability to provide a simon, right? A simon, an identifying marker, identifying feature of the object. Is that a din d'araisa, or is that a din d'rabana? And we're going to see why that makes a difference just a little bit. Maybe, kasav rachmana seh da'afilu b'simanim mehadrinan v'simanim d'araisa. I will say, maybe seh, interestingly enough, maybe the word seh is actually coming to teach me that the concept of a simon works and simonin are da'oraisa. So let's say, see what's happening over here? So therefore, again, one more time, simla would be teaching me that a simon, ideally you need a simon in the object itself. Chamor teaches me that if you have a simon in an attached accessory, that you get back the accessory and the primary item. Seh teaches, or I should say, shar teaches me even after return something insignificant like tail hair. And what does Seh teach me? Seh teaches me that the concept that you return, teaches me the ikar concept that you return lost objects through a simon and simonin ar daraisa. Yeah, it's a good suggestion. The Gemara says, Amri, here's the problem with that. Me diktani lohu tana le simonin gabe simla, diktani ma simla mi yuchad le sheish pa simonin vi yish pa tovin, chayv le hachriz, af kol dover sheish pa simonin vi yish pa lo tovin, chayv le hachriz, shma mina le seh, Lav l'simanin hudasa. So Rabbi says, here's the problem. The problem is, if you look at Lashon of the Mishnah really used Salma. Right? The Mishnah went ahead and really used, ultimately again, a simla. They used a garment as the paradigmatic example of an item returned with a simon. So it sounds like the concept of a simon is being learned out from simla, not from seh, to which the Gemara says, you're right. So therefore, Rabbi says, the way this sugi really ends off over here is, we're not sure what to do with seh. I know what to do with everything else in the psukim, but I don't know what to do with seh. So seh is still our outstanding question. Why is that included in the pasuk, and what is the lesson? Hold on to that. Tana Rabbanan, here we go. Asher tovat. So we'll say the pasuk says, you have to return to your fellow, return to your friend, anything that he loses. Prat la'aveda she'en bo shara pruta. So we'll say this comes to a lost object, doesn't have a shara pruta. We'll say it's actually very important. Halacha l'maisa, if you find an object and it doesn't have a pruta, doesn't have a shara pruta, everyone agrees there is no mitzvah of hashava saveda. No mitzvah of lost object. Rabbi Huda says, umitzasa, and you will find it. Prat la'aveda she'en bo shara pruta. So Rabbi says, I just want to point that over here. So the Tanakhama is saying, asher tovad, that which is lost, there is only an obligation to return a lost object when the object is considered to be lost. What's the definition of being lost? That you are worth at least a pruta. If you're not worth a pruta, then ultimately, again, we don't even view it as being lost. Rabbi Huda says, umitzasa, what are you obligated to return? You're obligated to return something you find. So prat lave the shem of shavar pruta. This comes to exclude something that's not worth a pruta. So I will say, so the Pashtos, they're saying the same thing. Right? They're saying the same thing, they're just darshaning it two different ways. So Gemara says, I don't understand what's the practical difference between them. They're both saying that halacha l'maisa, if the lost object is not worth a pruta, then halacha l'maisa, there is no obligation to go and return it. So my benayu, I'm Rabbi Mashmoz darshan iko benayu. So I will say, Rabbi says, there is no practical difference except that they're just both learning out the halacha from two different sources. So the Gemara says, Mar nafkalei me asher tovad, One is learning that from the pasuk of if you will lose it, and one is learning that from the phrase if you will find it. I will say, I just want to point out something very interesting, right? So one opinion is saying that halacha lemaisa, again, something is only considered lost if it's worth a pruta. The other opinion says something is only considered to be found if it's worth a pruta. And now practically, the Gemara says, what are they arguing about? So Gemara says, practically they're saying the same thing. The machlokes is on the drasha, right? Where are you deriving this halacha from? So here we go. So what's going to be that learns that from mitzasa? What does he do with that share tovat? I'll say first white line. You've seen this before. How do you know, right? If Reuven has an object and the river washed away the object, how do I know that I'm allowed to keep that object when I find it? Shnemar kenta selachol avedas achicha. Asher tovad mimenu umitzasa. This is what you shall do for the lost object of your friend if you find it. Hashav zaveda. Misha avuda himenu mitzuya eitzal kaladam. Now, what says we saw before? When is there a mitzvah hashav zaveda? When is there a mitzvah to return a lost object? When I will say ultimately again, the object is lost to the owner, but readily available to everyone else. Yotza sazusha avuda himenu ve'inu mitzuya kaladam. But we'll say, if you have a case of an object that is lost to its owner, but not available to other people, what would be an example of that? Object swept away by the river, which in this case, the owner doesn't have it, and what? Neither does anyone else. In that case, we'll say, there is no mitzvah shavas aveda. V'idach, hadra b'noi minale. And the other opinion, where will he learn out this halacha from? Nafkale mi umitzasa. Find the extra lashon. V'idach, hadra b'yochanan minale. Where do you see another b'yochanan's halacha? Nafkale mimenu. He learns that from mimenu. V'idach mimenu lo mashmalei. And the other opinion doesn't dash in mimenu. Okay. Rava Amar. So let's listen to this next case. Pruta shehuzla ikimena. So Rava says, no, there is a nafkamina. Or as we'll say, we were kind of looking at this, that there is no distinction between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda. Right? That they're both agreeing that Allah Almighty, the lost object, does not have the value of a pruta. There is no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. There's no distinction between. Now remember again, the Tanakama is learning it out from Asher Tovad, right? And Rabbi Huda is learning it out from Umitzasa. So Rava comes along and says, no, there actually is an Afkamina. We'll say, watch this case. So Rava Amar, Pruta Shehuzla Ika Benayu. We'll say, watch this case. Watch this case. What happens, we'll say, if Reuven lost an object, and when he lost it, it was a Shavar Pruta. But by the time I find it, it's no longer worth a pruta. So is there a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda in that case? So watch this. Mandar me Asher Tovad Ika. So according to the opinion of Zephyr Asher Tovad, he says the obligation of Hashava is established at the time that the object is lost. And if at the time that the object was lost, it had the value of a pruta, even if it subsequently depreciates before I find it, so by the time I find it, it's Pachos Mishav Pruta, I'm still obligated to return. But according to the second opinion, Rabbi Yehuda learns that from Mitzasa, the obligation of Hashava, the obligation to return it, is established at the time that I found it. If at the time that I found it, the object was worth less than a pruta, then Allah said there is no mitzvah of Hashava. I uleman do amar asher tovad, haba inanu mitzasa v'leka. But what's according to the opinion that says asher tovad, that it's lost. What about, again, what do you do with the fact that at Lamaisa, it's not worth a Shavar Pruta at the time that you find it? El Pruta Shehokra Ika Benayu. Rather, Abba said, no, the Nafkamina case will be, Reuven lost an object. At the time that he lost it, it was worth less than a Pruta, but when I found it, it was more than a Pruta. Mandar Mitzasa Ika, the person who holds a Mitzasa, right, that everything goes by when you find it, there's an obligation of Hashava. Umandar Masher Tovad, and the one who says ultimately again that you lose it, leka, that established at the time that you lost the object. When Reuven lost it, it was less than a pruta. There's no mitzvah shav zaveda. I, uleman darma mitzasa, haba inan asher tavad v'leka. I, but according to the opinion who says that it goes by when you found it. It will say again, obviously, it's only meaningful to find something if it was first lost. So if it wasn't worth a pruta at the time that it was lost, why would there be a mitzvah shav? Why would there be a mitzvah shav zaveda? Ella, I will say, Ella, you're right. What's the case? Pruta shehokra v'huzla. The Chazra v'Hokra. Rather, I will say, here's what happened. Here's what happened. We had a case, ultimately, again, of an item that appreciated depreciated, and then subsequently appreciated. So that by the time, ultimately, again, the finder finds it, it's now worth a pruta. But along this process, it became less than a shana pruta. So what's the halacha? So man da amar asher tovad ika, uman da amar amitzasa, ba'ina de ispe shir mitziasa, mishas aveda at shas mitziya. So we'll say, now listen to this. So just to find out, what's the case? So Reuven lost an object. The object was worth a pruta at the time that he lost it. Then, during the time that it was lost, it depreciated, pachom shavar pruta, appreciated, came back to a shavar pruta. Now I find it, and it's a shavar pruta again. Am I obligated to return it? So according to the Tanna Kamma, who says, asher tovad, that the mitzvah of shavas aveda is determined at the time that the object was lost, since at the time that it was lost, it was worth a pruta, there is an obligation to return it. The person, but the second Rabbi who says umitzasa, that it goes by when you found it, there's only a mitzvah of hashava if what? If the item maintained a value of a pruta the entire time. But if at any point in this process it dipped below a pruta, then halacha l'maaseh, there is no obligation to go ahead and return it. You know, it's like, so this machlokas, this machlokas remains outstanding. We're gonna see this in the Rambam a little bit later. But Lamaisa, in a general sense, okay, so we found the case where there's a machlokas, but in a general sense, they're agreeing on the principle. What's the principle? There is only a mitzvah ashava saveda if what? The object is worth a pruta. If the object is pachos mishava pruta, then I will say, in halacha, it's as if the object doesn't exist. I will say, it's an interesting result also, I think, like from Bederach HaShkafa. So I'll say, an object that is lost can only be returned if the object has a value. If it doesn't have a value, then it says if the object doesn't exist, there's no mitzvah to return it. So I will say, it's the same you sold in tshuva as well. When is tshuva possible? Tshuva is only possible when you believe that you are at least a shavah pruta. Right? So in life, I make many mistakes. And as a result of those mistakes, I have suffered significant depreciation. As long as I am a shavar pruta, I believe in myself that I still have a value, then there's mitzvah hashavah saveda. Then ultimately, again, I can return that which is lost. I still exist, and therefore, again, I can engage in the process of personalistic rehabilitation. The challenge in life is when a person feels that they're so broken that they're pachos mishava pruta. If I get to a point in life where I feel like I'm a nothing, I'm pachos mishava pruta, tshuva is impossible. There's no hashava saveda, there's no returning of lost objects. Why? Because you're both saying, when a person feels about themselves that they're pachos mishava pruta, there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to deal with. The most important piece in affecting the process of tshuva is believing that you still have value even in the aftermath of your life mistakes. Now again, my value may be diminished. My value may be compromised. But as long as I believe in myself that I am at least shavet pruta, then there's hashavas aveda. Then I can return the lost object. Chas v'shalom, a person is miyayish on themselves. A person believes that I'm pachos mishavet pruta. That's when return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes virtually impossible. We make mistakes. We all make mistakes, and some of us, some real doozies. But Lamaisa, no matter what life mistakes you've made, always remember that you are never pachos mishava pruta. If you believe that, and you remember that, tshuva, hashava sabeda, always possible. Let's go back there. Says the Gemara, Bailu. We'll say, so now the Gemara introduced us to a really fascinating discussion. Say, Bailu, simanim daraisa od rabbanan. So we'll say, so now let's go back to the question we mentioned before. So, you know, we've been operating, right, all of Eilat Metzias. All of Eilat Metzias is about the power of a simon, right? If I'm able to identify something in a lost object, ultimately, again, it's returned to me. Is the concept of a simon d'oraisa or d'rabanan? Now, why does that matter? My nafkin, the Gemara says, who cares? I'm a base. I'll tell you why it matters, says the Gemara. La dure get isha b'simanin. It matters, I'll say, for the following case. Let's say again, we actually have seen this kind of case before, a shaliach, right? Reuven is divorcing his wife Rachel, and Reuven appoints a shaliach. Shaliach is delivering the get, and shaliach loses the get. He loses the get. Now, the good news is, right? Bad news is shaliach lost the get. Good news is that what? There are some unique identifying features about the get that the shaliach knows how to identify. So let's say now Shimon finds the get. Shaliach comes, all right, so Shimon announces, I found something. Shaliach goes ahead and gives an identifying mark of the get. Do we give the get back to the shaliach or not? So we'll say, now remember, get is pretty significant, right? Get is matters of ishes, ish, get is iser. So if you say that simonim work, even midaraisa, then we will give back the get to the shaliach if he's able to furnish simonim. The amrit drabanon. However, if we go ahead and we say that simonim are only drabanon, then ki avod rabanon takanta bimamona. Ava bi isur lo avod rabanon takanta. So listen, now watch this, it's fascinating. So if you say that simonim work midaraisa, so then simonim will work in all cases. Right? They'll work in mamon monetary cases and they'll work in isra cases. If, however, you say that simonim are only dirabanan, then halacha lemaisa, it'll work in monetary cases but will not work in isra cases. So that would mean if shaliach loses the get, even though he's able to identify everything in the get, we will not return it to him because that is a case of isra. So we'll say, so this is now like a, it's interesting, like, feels like we should have dealt with this question at the beginning of the parak, right? Because this is like a pretty fundamental question, but I'll tell you why we haven't. Why haven't we? Because remember, I'll say this entire time, pretty much we've been dealing with monetary cases, right? The loss of a monetary object, and therefore can you return the monetary object? So I'll say, here's the good news. Everyone is agreeing that simonim works for that, right? Because even if simonim are drabanan, they're going to work in monetary cases. But now we get to the kishkas of the question, do simonim work midaraisa or just midrabanan? Nafkamina, does a simon work in a case of iser like get? So Tashma, let's analyze. Afa simla haisa bechlal kolelu. So we'll say, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, simla was included, right, simla which means a garment, was included in the general catch-all phrase of kol avidas achicha, anything your brother loses. V'lama yotzesa, so why was simla articulated on its own? To compare other items to simla. Just like a simla is unique, a garment is unique, and that's why it has a simin, and someone's claiming it, and therefore you're obligated to announce it if you found it. So to any item that has simanim and has people claiming it, you're chayv to announce it. So what are we learning out over here? We're learning out the concept of simanim from a word in the Torah, which would seem to make simanim what? A din d'oraisa. To which the Gemara says, maybe not. Tana, tovin itzrichale. Maybe not. I will say, maybe the drasha of simla is actually really teaching me about tovin, that you're only obligated to go ahead and return an object when someone is claiming it, as opposed to a situation where there's yeyosh. But really, we're not learning out simanim over here. Simanim is just mentioned kind of derech agav in passing. But the real drasha is about tovin, not about simanim. So therefore, I have no raya whether or not simanim are daraisa d'rabbanan. Next, simanim kedei naspa, and simanim are really just brought along for the ride. Okay, so therefore, we have to try to prove we have to try to answer from a different source. So tashma, chamar b'simani okaf. We'll say what we learned before, that you can return a donkey. Right? The donkey is returned even if what? Even if you're just able to give a simon in the saddle. So we'll say, what do you see from here? That's simon madaraisa. Right? And I was about to say, the fact that I could return the donkey, even with just the simonim of the saddle, to indicate that simon madaraisa. To which the one says, no, ema, instead of saying simone okaf, ema be'ede okaf. I will say, maybe the way it works, ultimately, again, by the donkey, is if there is edos, that I own the saddle, edus, testimony, not simonim, edus, that I own the saddle, so that would entitle me to receive back the saddle and the donkey. So tashma, so everyone say no raya again. Tashma, another proof. Vaya imcha ad dirosh achicha oso. So we'll say, so the pasuk says, you will go ahead and keep the lost object with you until your brother seeks it out. Ad dirosh achicha oso. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. V'chisala adaitcha. I will say, now, why does the pasuk have to say that? That I keep the object with me until my brother comes and seeks it out. Is there a havamina that I would return a lost object to my brother if he didn't seek it out? I was going to say, what? Obviously, I'm only returning something if the owner comes and tries to retrieve it from me. If the owner doesn't come and try to retrieve it, I'm not giving back anything. So what does the pasuk have to say? That Ella dashehu im ramai hu o ino ramai. Rather, Rabbi said what it means is like this: when someone comes to retrieve a lost object, don't be so trusting, and don't just give it over. Rather, ask questions, darshan a little bit. Is the person trying to retrieve the object? Is he honest or chas v'shalom dishonest? Rabbi said, how are you doing that? My love b'simanim. Are we not doing that with simanim? In other words, I say to Reuven comes over, I found the object. Reuven says, no, that's my object. And Reuven, okay, no problem. Prove it. Give me some simanim. And what do you see from here? That simanim are da'oraisa. To which the Gemara says, lo, be'edim. Maybe not. Maybe what it's saying is like this. I find the object. Reuven says, hey, that's my object. Saying, Reuven, no problem. Some testimony. Give me some edus. Bring me a witness that you own this object. I'll be happy to give it back to you. So Tashma, as Rabbi says, is another interesting case. Ein mi'idin al pirtzaf haponim imachotem. I'm sorry. Ein mi'idin ela al pirtzaf haponim imachotem. So Rabbi says, this is talking about a case. Reuven's married to Rachel. Now what happens? Reuven dies. We want to let Rachel remarry. So let's say, Rabbi says, this is talking about a case where, not a simple case where Reuven dies at home, or right? But let's say again, Reuven dies somewhere overseas. We want to be able to give Rachel the permission to remarry. We'll say, so now you have to identify the body. How do we ascertain that it's truly Reuven that died? So the Gemara says, in order to have real identification of Reuven, you have to identify his face. It has to be like a visual recognition, face together with the nose. That profile, if somebody's able to say, that's Reuven, then ultimately, again, Rachel could get married based on that testimony. Afapi sheyesh simanim begufo ubekelov. That was, and here's what's interesting. In order to allow Rachel to remarry, somebody has to identify Reuven by facial recognition. You have to be able to look at his face and say, that's Reuven. Even if someone could identify Reuven with simanim on his body, right, let's say certain physical identifying signs, or certain simanim on his kelim, his clothing, his accessories, that is not enough. We'll say, what do you see from here? Shema mina, simanim lav da'oraisa. Now, we'll say, what you see from here is that simanim are not da'oraisa. Why? Because we'll say, if a simon was a da'oraisa, then you should be able to identify Reuven by what? By dint of a simon on his body. Or maybe by dint of a simon, you know, in his utensils. The fact that a simon doesn't work to allow Rachel to remarry, only thing that works is actual facial recognition, indicates to us that simanim are drabanon and not doraisa. So that's why, again, simanim will work for monetary matters, but simanim will not work for iser matters. To which the Gemara says, no. That is not true. Amri, gufo d'arach v'gutz, kelov d'chashin l'sheila. The Rebbe said, that's not it. When we say that you can't identify Reuven's body by simanim, what that means is, they'll say you can't use like a basic simanim, like, oh, it's a tall body and Reuven was tall. Or it's a short body and Reuven was short. They'll say those are nondescript. So those type of simanim will not allow Rachel to remarry. Similarly, again, the problem of us with using utensils, right, or accessories as a form of identification of Reuven is that what? Maybe he borrowed stuff. Maybe the items found on his person now that he's dead are not actually his, but rather they're items that he borrowed from someone else, and therefore using them to identify Reuven would not be a valid mechanism. So the Gemara says, one second. So now I'm going to say, I was making a little bit of a tangent. So you're telling me now that when you find an accessory on a person, that maybe it's not really his, maybe he borrowed it. Well, if that's the case, the Gemara says, I'cheshinu l'sheila chamar b'simani ukav hecha madrinale. So we'll say, so one second, let's go full circle. Remember what we said before? What are we learning from the chamar in the pasuk? Right? Reuven loses a donkey. Reuven comes over to me. I find a donkey with the saddle. Reuven comes over to me and Reuven says, the saddle has my initials carved into it. And sure enough, it does. What did we say before? You give back the donkey with the saddle. But why? Maybe Reuven borrowed the saddle from someone else who has the same initials. And therefore, again, that's not a good simon. Right? The Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, ukaf lo sha'uli inshi, uchpa mishum de miskav leila chamra. We'll say it's interesting. As much as people borrow stuff from each other, what don't people borrow? People don't borrow or lend saddles. Right? Why? Makes sense. We'll say because a saddle has to have almost like a custom fit for the animal. If not, what it ends up doing is scratching the hide of the animal. So therefore, let's say, you could be, you know, you have to be choshesh for borrowing for a lot of things, but not for saddles. Okay. See, by saying another possibility is, but let's say going back to the case of Reuven died, right? Do you want to identify the body? So the Braisa said you can't identify the body by simanim on the utensils. So the right by simanim on the accessories, right? I don't know. He has a money bag or something else. So the Gemara says, Ibai says it's not going to work. Why? Kelav bichiyurei v'sumki. But so when we say that you can't identify Reuven's body through certain accessories or through certain kelim, that's talking about non-descript simanim. For example, Abosai, you know, he had a white accessory or a red accessory. So I would say those type of simanim, which are very nondescript, that's not going to work. Elohad desanya, matzu kasha bikis, oba arnekiv tabas, osha matzu ben kelev afilu lizman meruba, kasha. I will say, we're going back now to a get case, right? Reuven is divorcing his wife Rachel. And what happens? He sends the get with the shaliach. And what happens? The shaliach lost the get. But let's say again, the shaliach says, you know, the get was tied in a bag, right? Or it was tied to a money purse. Or it was tied ultimately again to a ring. Now, by the way, this doesn't even have to be a case of a shaliach. This could be the case of Reuven himself is divorcing his wife. He lost the get. But ultimately, again, he's able to identify, I tied the get together with my signet ring. I tied the get together with my wallet. I put the get in a pouch. And sure enough, we find the get, and it's attached to the signet ring, to the pouch. Ultimately, again, to a money bag. So we return the get to the husband in these cases. But one second. So the Gemara says, "Isadai dechashin l'sheila." But if we're concerned that people lend out their utensils to each other, kimatsa kasha bekis amai kasha. I don't understand. Even if you find the get tied to the wallet, why should the get be good? After all, the Gemara says, "Nechosh l'sheila." Say that Reuven lent out his wallet to someone else. Maybe this get is not the same get. Amri kisva arniki v'tapas lo mashali inshi. So it's incredible. People lend stuff. There are certain things they never lend. We will say, what do people never lend? People never lend their wallet, their money bag, and their wallet, as well as their signet ring. So this is interesting. The Gemara says, kisva arniki v'shum nevesamni. I will say, it was considered to be bad luck to lend out your wallet to someone. And also probably just a bad idea. Right? But when I say bad luck, why? Your wallet represents your financial mazel. So to give your financial mazel into the hands of someone else that wasn't good, first white line, v'tavas mishun demizayif. And obviously, I will say, people weren't quick to lend out their signet ring. Why? Because your signet ring, obviously, is what you, that's your signature. Lending that out to other people, obviously, is a pretty dangerous proposition. So let me continue. So we'll say, so maybe this whole, so we'll say, so now, we're still stuck with our original question, which is, are simanim d'oraisa or are simanim d'rabbana? We haven't answered that. So let me continue. Maybe the whole thing is machlokes time. Here we go. Eim me'idin ala shuma. So we'll say, so back to Reuven died. We need to identify the body. We need to identify the body in order to allow his wife Rachel to remarry. So let's say again, Reuven had a wart. So you can't identify a body by the presence of a wart. Yes, you can identify by a wart. So you're arguing about. The Tanakama serves Simanim Dirabanan. The Tanakama Simanim are only Dirabanan. So therefore, Simanim will work in a Mamon case, but won't work in an Isser case like this. Elizabeth says, no, Simanim are d'oraisa, and that's why, again, even in the case of allowing a woman to remarry, the presence of the wart is enough to allow, to ascertain that this is the identity, to establish identity as Reuven. So Rava, no. To call it Alma Simanim d'oraisa. No, in general, Rava says, everyone agrees that Simanim are d'oraisa. I saw some machlokes over here. V'hacha, b'shuma metsuya beben gilo kemiflegi. So this is actually very interesting. Here the machlokes is, do we assume that people who are born under the same astrological sign, do they have similar bodily features? Mar Savar Shuma Mutsuba Ben Gilo. So one opinion says that it is common for people who are born under the same astrological sign to often have the same physical features, even to have like a same wart. Umar Savar Shuma Ina Mutsuba Ben Gilo. And ultimately, again, the other opinion says no, people born under the same astrological sign do not necessarily go ahead and have the same warts. Ibaisa, another possibility is Huli Alma Shuma Ina Musiba Ben Gilo. Others say, no. Even people born with the same astrological sign don't necessarily have the same physical features. Vahacha, Besimanin Hayasuyim, the Ishtaros La'acha Misacha Meflegi. And also, here's the Shaila. Do physical features change after a person dies? Mar Savar Simanin Hayasuyim, the Ishtaros La'acha Misa. We'll have to stop over here for today. Shabbos says, so the machlokis over here is, do physical signs, let's say a wart, does the appearance of that wart change after death or not? And that is the subject of the machlokis itself. So we'll stop over here, kind of stopping mid-topic, so we're still leaving off in the overarching topic, our simanin d'oraisa, our simanin d'rabanan. Can you guys listen to be continued tomorrow? Shkoyach.